shame in the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the little Kiwi Collaborator episode that we've got going on here in studio. We have Jeanette. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Vinnie. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do, please.
Well, I'm here to talk about the Green Cross in Auckland today, and I'm the new founder of the New Auckland Green Cross, which is a medical support group for cannabis users in Auckland. We're in West Auckland on Portage Road, and every Sunday from 2 to 4pm we run a support group for people to talk about the difficulties they're having with their illness, the way cannabis works for them, the ways they might use cannabis, and ways that we can possibly develop a resource in the future to give to doctors, because one of the greatest problems is doctors do not understand why their patients are using cannabis.
Well, how could they not? Wouldn't the patients just say, you know, it helps them with pain, and the doctor would just go, oh, well, that's interesting?
Well, they go, well, no, that's illegal, and here have two more, Panadol or Codeine.
How many?
Or Tramadol, or depending on what the pain level, which is unfortunate, because one of the things that I've gained from visiting doctors in America is the opiate use and other prescribing can be reduced and used in combination with cannabis, so less drugs are required.
Well, down from how many to how many kind of thing?
Oh, people can probably halve their dose on some of the stronger narcotics, because the cannabis, whether it's smoked or eaten or vaporized or sprayed, works on the same neural pathways and receptors in the brain. So instead of having a high dose of codeine, you can have a mid-sized dose of codeine and some marijuana, which is, maybe in a cookie form at night, is really beneficial.
Mm. Well, I think all cells, when we're born, have cannabis receptors in them, specifically for this purpose, because the cannabinoid molecule is like a, in my opinion, it's a transmutable molecule that can more or less mimic most chemicals, vitamins, minerals, etc., known to man. So whenever the cell sends a signal into it, it sort of transmutes its makeup somehow and then gives the body what it needs, or at least in a lot of the cases that I've seen with the high potency cannabis oil that Rick Simpson has done, which has been I think the term is a panacea or a cure-all or something of that nature, whether it's depression, crack spine, many things. Mm. Including cancer, of course.
Well, that's a good description, and the more medical term for the way the cannabis affects the brain is it has its own separate pathway, and I think animals do too, called the anandamide pathway, which is a Persian word or name for bliss. So I would suggest that people have been consuming cannabis and animals, eating it raw, as well as using it in poultice forms, the herb as leaf, as tea, as flower with the seed, because it really is one of those very versatile herbs or plant that can everything can be used. So even the stalks could be burnt as firewood, and so and then it crosses into little receptors in the brain that are specifically designed to receive THC or CBDs, which treat pain and they treat anxiety. They work slightly differently, but they work the same as the drugs that doctors prescribe, but they have a different pathway. So it's like a different lane on the motorway, all going the same direction, all doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like what the doctors are doing is they're saying, okay, let's open up a line of traffic and then just pulling out into oncoming traffic and then just ploughing through them with a Humvee or a bulldozer or something like that in order to get the neural pathway freaking cured. Except they never cure you. They can only treat you, for which will produce a whole lot of side effects, which they also can't cure. They can only treat you by making you take two medications instead of one, and then that multiplies, and so on and so forth until you're dead. And poor.
Well, I think it possibly works more like a motorway with five lanes, and that three of them have got the X above them that you're not allowed to use, because those are the cannabis, you know, useful pathways, but we're not allowed to use them because they're illegal. And every single piece of traffic is travelling on two lanes, just ramming the crap out of each other, congested as hell. Ultimately, no solution, because you'll find a lot of people go back to their doctor again and again for a different cocktail of pills because these don't work anymore. And that's exactly what's happened to the receptors in the brain. They reach a certain level and they can't make any more or close any more. So I need a new pill. Whereas I think by moving to cannabis, it is less harmful, especially if you're eating it. You know, how can that be wrong?
A friend of mine once talked about this, actually, that he had trouble eating. Like a very skinny guy, and he just didn't have any appetite. And then he used the cannabis, and what it did is he said that it activated his Dorito receptors.
That's a good story. I heard about another friend of yours who has a great deal of difficulty through MS.
Oh, yeah, Barry. I was walking up Queen Street this one time, and I think this is kind of encapsulates the whole cannabis and medical treatment, because we're not talking about, you know, oh, let's get it legal, let's all get high. We're talking about medical treatment for medical patients, right? That's what Green Cross is about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I was walking up Queen Street with Barry, and interestingly enough, in the CBD, that's where Queen Street is, because we're talking about the CBD. And then so he ingested, well, let me back up. Walking up, he's very, very slow walking, got multiple sclerosis, kind of a pain to move, like literally just a pain to sort of breathe, pain to move at all. The guy has to sit down every couple of steps, more or less. That's what he feels like doing, but he had to keep walking. And I had to slow down and walk about maybe a tenth of my normal speed just to make sure that he didn't, you know, get totally left behind. And I asked him, you know, Barry, do you need a sesh, bro? Do you want some weed? So I rolled him a joint and smoked it up. And I had to try and catch up with him. You know, it was like all the pain goes away, the inability to move goes away, the fatigue goes away, the stress goes away, and just the pain of life goes away. Had we been busted by a cop at that point, not only would it have totally blown my high, but we would have been clamped in handcuffs and stuck in the back of a police car and then gone through processing and fingerprinting and all of that kind of stuff where they take everything off you. It's incredibly stressful. It's actually probably one of the most stressful incidents that will ever happen to you, ladies and gentlemen, is being arrested, having all your freedoms taken off you.
Get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we think we don't have any freedoms now, and, you know, technically we don't, because we're not really willing to defend most of them with force, because the police will just take them away by force, won't they? It's the only thing that's really open left. But anyway, you're in pain. This is what occurred to me, is that during this time, Barry would be in pain. They would have confiscated any guns that he had, and he would have been in pain from that moment onwards and unable more or less to move. And at the same time, he would be required to go to court and or defend himself and or plead guilty while he's in pain and also have to take time off work as well as all of that jazz, okay? And I thought to myself, you know, how would the law actually help people like Barry? And the answer is it doesn't. It doesn't care about them, because the pharmaceutical industries are making a hell of a lot more money off of selling you painkillers that can kill you than they are about being, you know, okay with cannabis, which has never killed anybody in 10,000 years.
Well, interestingly enough, the Green Cross has been around in New Zealand for quite a number of years in different locations with different front people. One of the first people to start a Green Cross was Greg Saw, and his was AIDS patients and terminal cancer. And the first letter he wrote to Peter Dunn was rejected as, this is garbage. And that's about 12 years ago. I've got a copy of the letter from 2002. And unbelievably, Peter Dunn's still sitting as an Associate Health Minister in Parliament today, and he's blocked every possible attempt that any person's ever made to receive cannabis as medicinal. And people have had broken backs, lost their jobs, lost their livelihood, and yet they're open to the police seizing everything they own, coming into their house. These are people who are in wheelchairs. They're vulnerable, they're in bed, they have no limbs, they may be amputees, they are maybe suffering seizures, depression, anxiety, all sorts of conditions that are always exacerbated by the police and the law as it stands. And I think that's been, you know, just unbelievable that it was 1996 in California that medical marijuana became available and legal, and that's going to be only 2 years away. It'll be 20 years, and we're nowhere, and we're still subject to Billy's on home detention.
Billy McKee from Green Cross. Just give a bit of a background about him to the audience there. He got a leg shorn off by a drunk driver, and now he's using cannabis for the pain, because you've got phantom leg and everything like that. Of course, when you're walking around on an artificial leg, your stump gets really sore, and he's found that just taping raw cannabis but to his stump, it reduces the inflammation and actually takes the pain away. And I've found that myself. If I've had pains, abrasions, or things of that nature, it actually stings, very similar to when you put iodine drops onto a wound, kind of thing. If you put cannabis into it, and it heals up really, really quickly. I found, especially infected areas, because it's a really, really good viricide in that respect. I think maybe
I don't know.
That's total sounds speculation like on my part. But
lovely astringent, maybe.
Yeah, but as you say, you can't argue with results. You can't argue with Billy's results. And when I was at the normal conference, I was talking about this, about how, you know, we've got all the facts and figures and everything that we need for the cannabis movement to actually really make a good case. The problematic thing is that we don't have enough cynical marketing scum basically spinning it, so that people who don't care about the truth, don't care about the facts, will instead make an emotional decision to actually care about people who are in pain.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That was my thought. Now, it sounds really cynical and it sounds really evil, but at the end of the day, it's about stopping people from suffering, you know?
Well, I'm definitely not part of the cynical marketing scum, but I have discovered something.
I was talking about myself, more or less.
Oh. I didn't need say that either.
They need to take the advice of cynical marketing scum like me.
Well, speaking of cynical marketing scum, what I have discovered is that the restaurant, not restaurant brands, not Pizza Hut. It's not Pizza Hut.
Could I actually finish first? Because I was thinking about a great picture, you know, this is the marketing thing. Billy McKee sitting there in his wheelchair, one leg, having a joint or something like that. Maybe not having a joint, actually. Just in pain. And just look at him, you know, imagine him. And I'm a cripple, not a criminal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the group that gathers together in on Sundays in Auckland, West Auckland on Portage Road, called the West Auckland or New Auckland Green Cross Support, you know, it's a big mouthful. We're Cannabis Users Support Group. And it's not a dispensary. It's not a place that you can come and smoke cannabis, nor is it a place that we sell cannabis. But we are trying to get together to do a study where we can, over a period of time, record how cannabis has been beneficial to us. It has to have medical records to support it. And, you know, evidence that the cannabis has, you know, not deteriorated your condition and hopefully been beneficial to you. And it hasn't been done because you can't get ethical approval in New Zealand to study cannabis, which is an illegal drug, because you can't source it. And because it's illegal, you can't make it reliable in its strength or potency or even strain. So these are all issues that we're lagging behind America massively, but we don't even know. We've had Peter Dunne blocking the dunny. And you know what is on top of the blockage?
What's on top of the blockage?
A lot more shit.
Can we say that under FCC regulator? Oh, yeah, that's right. We can.
It's only poos.
Yeah. It's only poos. Yeah.
So we've had a blocked dunny. And we've had 12 plus years of stuff on top. The unmentionable.
For the Indigenous New Zealanders and Australians, dunny means toilet. For those of you in the international audience who won't respect the common nomenclature, and we have a politician of said name. It's actually done. He's done by name, but dunny by reputation. And, you know, if we could, just think about this for a moment. You talk about emotional appeal to people. What if we had all these people who were like in pain a lot of the time, door knocking, and everybody in his electorate going, please, please don't vote the Dunny back in. He's destroyed me life. Look at me. Look at my kids.
Well, I'm glad you find it amusing, but it is damn serious. And, you know, I think if he was to go, there could be some movement in politics, you know. I'm getting constipated here with his jokes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's an unintentional thing. I call them unintended consequences because there's several layers of consequence that you don't really know until you kind of peel back the layers of it. Anyway, we're talking about trying to get Dunny out of the bit. You know, here we go, we're going again. It's circular reasoning because it's circular reasoning. And if there's a blockage, you can't actually go full circle. That's why we're stuck on the topic of the Dunny.
Moving on with the Green Cross, which is the scumbag, cynical branding, marketing. Just recently I was trying to, you know, get the Auckland Green Cross going again because 2 years ago, one of the really key people involved with Auckland Green Cross died. So with that sad and unfortunate death, it seemed that the Green Cross wasn't going to be a viable option to even patients because the police were harassing him at the time of his death. The people who were supplying the medical marijuana that were growing with full knowledge of the health ministry, and everyone had been written to, doctors in the neighbourhood were aware, patients had been to doctors, the police closed the operation down, and that was that. So legally, everybody has conspired in every possible way to deny people medical use. And I'm not going to take that chance with the Green Cross here, but we know that people are accessing cannabis for their medical use, and all we want to do is help them, support them, help support them with their doctors, and ultimately support them, educate their doctor to how it's beneficial to them, to create just understanding is the first step. Mm. Now, the second thing that in doing this, I discovered that the pharmacies that we've known as Radius and Unichem are about to rebrand themselves as the Green Cross Health, which I'm actually not going to let them steal my name or Auckland Green Cross name or Levin Green Cross name or Billy McKee's name or anybody who's a patient of New Zealand. Green Cross deserves to have Green Cross as a recognised and international brand name. So there is going to be a little legal case coming up, and I will keep you informed.
Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, you should be quite cross that they're trying to steal the name Green Cross off you.
I'm very cross.
And then might be setting the mood for just a little litigation, you know?
A little litigation could go a long way.
Yeah, like the Dunny.
Oh, no, we're back to
that. No. He goes for a long time. About a decade or so.
I have sought a legal opinion. I've engaged with a lawyer to do the research needed, and I'm not of a legal mind, but I'm pretty sure that using the name Green Cross when it already is in existence with the Green Cross in green in three different places in New Zealand in various organisations in various forms is a clear breach. But not only is it a clear breach of our name, it's also going to be a confusion to any person who's already been a patient of the Green Cross. They're going to stumble into the chemist and go, hello, can I have 100 of something strong? And I don't know how often that should happen because that's going to be embarrassing for both people. And the third is, it's just bullying. It's just a big corporate thing thinking that these little guys don't have any kind of legal nous and they wouldn't even know. And we can steal their name. And I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, while you were talking there, something occurred to me. It's completely unrelated. What do you normally fill a dummy with?
Water and toilet paper.
If you say so. It usually is accompanied by something else. And in fact, the Parliament has turned into a rather hotbed of piping systems that make sure things are funneled in certain directions. Isn't it any wonder that one of the central party figures is a man named Dunny?
Yep. Okay. It's not surprising.
I'm just making these crappy jokes about it because I just don't like the joke.
I know.
I have an anecdote. I have a real anecdote.
Has Dunny leaks?
Dunny leaks? Oh, my God.
Does
he, is it that he smokes Dunny Red?
I think so.
No? Okay. Well, apparently he takes payoffs from tobacco and alcohol companies. A couple of people have said to me that they've got the documentation, reputable people. I can't reveal the sources as yet. But you see the competition, you see the connection, you see smoking and you see intoxication. There's two things that people use for recreational cannabis. Am I correct? So therefore these companies would pay somebody to keep their competition off the marketplace.
Well, it seems to me remarkably ignorant of what's a global phenomena and has been happening for 20 years. That I know it's a 12-hour flight to LA and other places where there are more cosmopolitan, like-minded people. But I'm sure Peter Dunn has to be aware of something useful, some person, some family in his neighbourhood using medical marijuana. He can't claim to not know, and as a lawyer, ignorance is no defence. So, you know, maybe that man should be forced from Mr. McCready to stand up and take his medicine.
Hey, yeah, well, in fact, that comes to a point. I was just thinking, what Graham McCready has done is he's actually opened the board for private prosecution against corrupt politicians. Okay? This is landmark.
And one.
Against somebody who I hate almost as much as I hate... In fact, I definitely hate him more, actually. John Banks. High-level Freemason. not the reason I hate him. It's just coincidental. And I'd be very, very interested to see just how many lawyers and judges and etc. who might be punishing him or maybe taking care of him while he's in prison. Are members of the Brotherhood and will make it a whole lot easier for him, including possibly just giving him home detention so he can sit at home with the internet in his frickin' mansion and maybe drive his Bentley around his yard or something like that when he needs to stretch his frickin' legs.
Women aren't members of that exclusive club, so I'm never likely to be invited. I never need to worry about these things. I think that's why. I don't. There's other things for me to worry about.
Mm. Well, there's the Order of the Silver Star, which was started up, I think, in the 1900s or something. Helen Clark's allegedly a member of that. But anyway, this isn't a talk about secret societies and which incredibly powerful people coincidentally belong to them and coincidentally turn out to be corrupt scum that run your country into the ground. No, no, no. This isn't a country. That's just a coincidence theory right there. Yeah. And what we're going to talk about is Green Cross and exactly how you can know a little bit more about it. Now, you have kind of classes. I'd like you to reiterate that. And also, if you have a website or some description that you can pop it up there, give it out to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Green Cross is, this is like the phoenix of Green Cross revival. We are so serious about our name that I've employed somebody. Well, Green Cross has employed someone, and we are, you know, registering ourselves again or making sure that our brand and name is ours. We're going to be open every Sunday, running a group, looking for people to be taking part in the study. And we have counsellors for people who have questions. And ultimately, we'll be gathering data and helping you with support with your doctor. Maybe having a meeting with your doctor at some stage, and using this data to form a study that says, you know, cannabis is beneficial in different areas. So because we're not a big group yet, we've already realised that there's sort of three different categories that people use marijuana for. And one is things like congenital birth defects. So you're in pain from birth, you've had a short leg and something that's just not ever going to heal. So that's a really big group. The second is pain, people who've got pain conditions, phantom limbs, fibromyalgia, recovering from injuries, and they've been on other medication and they're reducing. That's another group. And then there's also a mental health group where there's depression and anxiety and other disorders such as autism and Asperger's, where people find this really, really beneficial to their daily functioning. And because they've been using an illegal drug, it's often said to make it worse for them because it's a legal drug. It actually makes you more anxious and paranoid. But That is only true because your doctor's told you so, and he wants to put you back on Prozac.
Prozac, which has the wonderful side effect of murder, suicide, death, liver failure, dizziness, memory loss, etc., etc. And believe me, there's yet more, etc. You've been listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Jeanette Saxby, who teaches classes at the High Tea Cafe for Green Cross about how to cope with your pain, etc. And you can click on the High Tea Cafe banner on the homepage of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
There's a Facebook page, Green Cross Auckland.
Okay, that'd be actually a good one. We'll put links to that on this archive as well. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And I hope you really take on board a whole lot of the things we've said, right? Because nobody wants to be like a dunny that is full of something. We'll be right back.